We continue our learning. We are in Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav. Now this Mishnah, number one, is in written in Aramaic. It's another statement of Hillel, another teaching of Hillel. But it also seems to present the concept of Schar Va'Onesh, reward and punishment, in a very black and white kind of way, which we know not to be the reality. So we'll ask several questions on this and try to take the approach of the Tosfos Yontif in understanding this Mishnah. Mishnah says like this, Af hu ra'al gulgoles achas shetzafa apnei hamayim. Hillel once saw a skull floating on the water. And Amar la, and he said to the skull, he's talking to the skull, Al da teft atfuch, because you caused the heads of other people to float, atfuch, so your head is now floating. Sounds like because you killed other people, that's why you were killed. You were beheaded, and now you are, your head is floating. V'sof, mitayfayich yutufun. In the end, what's going to happen? Those who drowned you, those who caused you to float, oh, cut off your head, and now threw your skull into the water, yutufun, they will be floating themselves. They will die themselves. So we'll read first Bar Tanura, just the what seems to be the very obvious and very black and white approach to the Mishnah of Rasha Viralo, which is what we see, that in fact people are punished for their sins. And he says the following, Rasha Hayisa, Hillel's speaking to this person, in fact maybe he knew this person, Umalaste Mesabrios, and he would rob people, Umitzifan Benahar, he'd decapitate them and throw them their heads into the river, Uvo Somida Madadulach. So he's talking to this skull and saying, guess what, you got punished for that. But in the end, Bitifayach Kidufun, Shaloha Yahadavar Masur Biyadan Lahargecha, El Labaistin, meaning they shouldn't have now. Why should the people who, if this person was a murderer himself, why should the people who caused his head to float, who killed him and threw him into the water, into the river, why should they be punished? So the answer is they had no right to punish you, to kill you. El Labaistin, that's Baistin's responsibility. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Masarach Biyadan, it's true, Hashem knew you were Chai of Misa, so that he made sure that someone would kill you. Which means that in the end, you're going to be held liable, held accountable, and we're going to have someone who's going to kill you who deserves to be killed. But in fact, this person also didn't have the right to kill you, and eventually his misa, the fact that he killed you, will be demanded of him as well, and he will be punished. So that's, as I said, the very black and white way to learn the Mishnah. And the Tosfos Yontif begins by asking him, Tomar al korchacha rishon shenerag shata choshev l'mafreya timsa shu lo harag. Hold on one second. The first murder we have in the Torah is someone who was not killed right away. Here we have Hevel was killed. Hare Hevel harago kain v'luhu lo harag. Meaning what? You'll say Hevel. Let's say Hevel's head is floating in the water. Would Hillel say to Hevel, said, oh, you must have killed someone. That's why you died. That's why you were killed. Clearly not. So how it came in. How could Hillel say, Sha'amar, this is a theological statement for people to read this Mishnah, learn Avos. How could he say, Al da teif da tfuch, you know why your head is floating? Because you must have killed someone else. And then to be able to say, V'kol sheken da kashe, we certainly should ask a question in the second half. Amashamah v'soch mitzvach tifun didilmalo. How do you know that the person who killed this person, who threw this person's head into the water, is going to be killed? Maybe it'll never happen. U'maisim v'chol yom, we see it all the time. You see, many murderers, and they live a full life, and they die on their bed b'day shamayim at the end of their life. So how could we possibly understand this Mishnah? So he quotes some who claim that this has to do with Gilgal. It's some type of, reincarnation. There may be a Kabbalistic idea here. And he says, I find that very, very difficult, that Hillel would be presenting a Kabbalistic idea. He says, could it be? He says, in our Mishnah, Ki'ein HaMidsh, Yotzeis, he says, Midei Mashma Muvan Hakol. It can't be that the Mishnah is going to be taken out of its literal understanding. These are regular people who are learning the Mishnahs. Kikach Eina Mishnah Yotzeis Midei Mashma V'lo Yehoyah Rabbeinu Hakadosh Mechaber Hamamar Hazev V'Shanu Mishnah. So Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi never would have had this in the Mishnahs if this was something that the obvious the lay person couldn't understand. In fact, that's one of the reasons why this is in Aramaic, because maybe he taught this in Bavel before he came to Eretz Yisrael, only because that's what people spoke, and the layperson should understand at least this very, very important Mishnah, as we had in the past, he had a Mishnah in Aramaic. So the same thing should be true over here. And then he goes on to ask a couple of questions. Number one, why is he speaking to the skull and not speaking to everybody else? He's speaking, oh, you, Mr. Skull, over here in the water, you know what happened, you know why you're here, and you know what's going to happen to the people who threw you in here. You know why you're here, and you know what's those who threw you in here are going to be punished. Why not? Why didn't he turn his face, literally, to his audience, to his students? And more than that, my af de kamar, the Mishnah begins, af hu, even he, Hillel, saw a gugolas on floating on the water. What is af all about? So says the Tosas Yontef, I believe that this Mishnah is sandwiched between the previous Mishnah and the next Mishnah, all teaching the same concept, the same teaching, and af really continues from the previous Mishnah. What does the previous Mishnah teach us? Ein bur yirei chet, a person who's a bur is not going to be a person who has yirash Shamayim, an Amma Oretz is not going to be a chassid, a Baishan is not going to learn. Are these things that are guaranteed? Does that mean no boor is ever Yerechet? An Amma Oretz can ever be a chassid, a Baishan can ever learn, so a Baishan will learn. Kapdan can't be Melamed. Okay, sometimes he's, although he's impatient, he teaches. I don't have people who are involved in business, even excessively, who become wise. We do have those things. So the same thing is true that in this Mishnah, it's very possible that this person will not, the people who threw this person into the water, who decapitated and threw him into the water, are not going to be killed. And it's possible that this person is not necessarily, did not murder, and that's why, he must be in the water now because he must have murdered someone. No, it's true, ki mimida sha'ada modeid ba modeid in lo. It's true that the seichel, shekach hi hamida v'chein ha-seichel mechayv. That's the way it should be. Measure for measure. And that's intellectually the way we would understand it. Elish Im calls it Hamatzias Machisho, says the Tosfos Yontef. But at the end of the day, the reality seems to contradict this. Plenty of people who are killed and they didn't kill anybody. Plenty of people who kill and they're not killed themselves. So what he's coming to tell us, for who shall call panim hakol bimidas emes shvitas habrios, ki mischaev hakol b'chiyuv amiti v'miras yosher. I want to set it straight that this is the way it should be. So the same way in the previous Mishnah it says a boor is not going to be your Eichet, yes, it follows that if you're a boor, you're uncivilized, a person is has no wisdom at all, so it's not going to be, he's not interested in learning, the likelihood is not going to have your Eichet. Is it always that way? No, but that's the way it should be. That's what should follow. That should be the obvious consequence. And the same thing should be true of this Mishnah. And that's why he's not teaching this to everybody else, because I can't tell you that this is the reality that we see, but this is the way it should be, and that's why he speaks to the Gulgolis, he's speaking to the skull, and he wants, and the same thing is true the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, we'll see, Amar Bebasra Mabarima, a person has a lot of flesh, there'll be a lot of maggots on his body after he dies. Brahmana Chasamara Daga, a person has a lot of property, a lot of possessions, he's going to have more worry. Is that always true? No, there are plenty of people who have a lot of possessions, and you don't have worry. But the Mishnah is teaching us the way it should be, and since that's the way it should be, so what lesson should we derive? Is derive that we shouldn't have too many possessions, so we're not worried. We'll see in the next Mishnah, we shouldn't have too many, let's say, slaves, and because we'll land, there'll be too much too much robbery. But at the same time, there also, and he mentions here, he says we have pichisios, we have the negative qualities, and we have the malos, we have the positive qualities. So the same thing is true in the next Mishnah, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. Is it always true that a person has quality of life, or length of days, if he's Marbe Torah? No, but that's the way it should be. And therefore, this is what we should strive for. We can't guarantee it, but at the very least, we certainly shouldn't be the ones who are killing people, because this is what we would deserve. And even if you don't get punished in this world, in the next world, we will. This statement, the teaching of Hillel, oh, I'm telling you, this is the way it is, this is the way it's going to be. This is the way it should be intellectually, logically. But because you'll say, listen, but I you know, you look around and it seems to contradict this. I don't see this happening. I don't want anyone to come and think, oh, I guess there's no judge. There's no judgment. There's no judge. This is what he used to say. The whole list, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chaim, which is what? So you understand that this is what should follow. These are the proper midos. This is what we should be doing, even if it's not the reality that we see. In the end, there's going to be a din, and there's going to be a dying, if not in this world, then in the next. And therefore, we understand the Aramaic. This is a theology that everybody needs to understand. And the Af is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. And that's why he's speaking to the skull. He can't necessarily speak to the audience and say, this is a reality. But he's speaking to the skull and say, you deserve to be where you are. That's kifi hasechel, the way it should be. Perek Bey's Mishnah Zayin. Hu haya omer, Hillel would say, marbe basar, marbe rima. Person has too much flesh, so he's going to have too many worms. What does it mean? So a person drinks too much and eats too much and gains weight. So the more he gains, the more there's flesh going to be. That after he dies, they're going to consume him in the grave. So that's one way to explain it. But it may be, there's some questions whether, who cares, does it really matter? Do the discussions about whether after Chesed Brachos and other places, whether people who are dead or actually feel any pain at all, maybe the fact that the body is deteriorating a certain way, or because there are so many worms that would trouble the soul, that may be. But nonetheless, the Mishnah may mean, according to others, no, I don't have to tell someone at Marba Basa Marba Mirma, he may not care. The person, okay, so he has too much weight. No, the idea is Marba Basa Marba Mirma means a person, Marba Basa, a person who's eating his way through life and thinks, okay, I can overindulge and nothing's going to happen to me. Recognize Marba Mirma. One day you're going to be in the grave and you may want to spend your time productively in your life, because the end of the day, there's going to be, if you're Marbe Basa, that's all you're doing and you're wasting your time. So Marbe Rima, you're going to be going to be in the grave, and that's all that's you're going to have. You're not going to have Olam Haba. Marbe Nechasim, Marbe Da'ag, a person has too many possessions, so there are too many worries. A person thinks the more wealth he has, oh, so now he'll be able to be comfortable and not worry at all. So on the contrary, that's what happens. People have too much, and then they have even more worry. The Bartanur brings the story. He says, "V'chased echad yamispal." He says, "There was a pious person who used to daven hamakom yatzileni mi pizur hanefesh." Hashem should save me from the scattering of the soul. What did I mean? Shalom imenu ma pizur hanefesh. What do you mean pizur hanefesh? Amar lahem sheyulov nechased merubim mefuzarim emekamas harbe. He said, "Now, what I'm asking Hashem is that I shouldn't have too many possessions, you know, scattered all over the world in many different places. Tzorach lefazer nafshel achshav lekamel kamel. Therefore, my soul, my spirit is so busy, is so worried." So anxious about all of the different things I have to worry about, the property here and the property there, and how this is going and that is going, then I don't have the time really to focus on Talmud Torah and allowing my spiritual life to advance. Then the Mishnah says, Marbe Nashim, Marbe Kishafim. A person has too many wives, even in the time where polygamy is allowed. A man could have more wives, but you do that, there'll be more Kishaf. Why? It seems that in the olden days, the witchcraft was something that was more prevalent amongst women, and maybe because they are many wives, they're going to be using witchcraft on one another in order to find favor with the husband or to win his affection. So therefore, Marbe Nashim, Marbe Chashafim, Marbe Shvachos, Marbe Zima. Person has, if you have too many maidservants, there'll be more promiscuous behavior. Why is that so? So we assume that Shvachos in general there are promiscuous, they're non-Jews, and involved in lewd behavior in the person's home. He may not be around, and this is what's taking place. They're then coming into the home, and therefore, Marbe Shvachos, Marbe Zima, not a good idea to have too many Shvachos. Marbe Avadim, Marbe Gezel. Person has too many slaves, so that may lead to Gezel. Either Gezel that they're going to steal from other people, and people will blame the master that for that he's stealing, or maybe they may still stealing from him. So not a good idea to have too many Avadim. Marbe Torah, Marbe Chaim. But in a positive way, if you have a lot of Torah, so then Marbe Chaim, based on the Pasuk, Yu Chayecha L'Orech Yomecha, in which we have in Devarim, Kivi Yomecha Yivyosifu L'choshnos Chayim, that's in Mishlei, and therefore the more Torah we have, the more Chayim. What does it mean, more Chayim? Does it mean that a person, if we focus on Torah as opposed to, let's say, the beginning, Koni Rabbi Yonah, this is the opposite of what we said in the beginning, Mar Beria Basar Mar Berima, Mar Benuchasa Mar Bedogav, a person involves himself in Torah study, so then he'll have Chayim this world, Chayim the next world, longevity, at least in quality, and therefore won't have the worries of those who are excessively involved in their possessions. Marba Torah, marba Chayim, marba Yeshiva, marba Chochma. A person who spends a lot of time, now it doesn't mean sinning. It means, according to the Bar Tanura, he says, "Shano Saint Tam LeDvarav." A person who's sitting and has time to analyze his learning, v'hasvaros shalom is yashlos alev hashomer. Now he has people, talmidim, who want to learn from him, because Mar Bechochma means, and he himself will become more wise because he's teaching others. He has more talmidim who come to gather together to hear from him, and in that way he'll be able to increase his own knowledge by teaching and having time to sit and not running around to earn a livelihood. Spend time learning a livelihood, but it means that we should spend also a significant period of time sitting in yeshiva, sitting and learning as well. Marbe Eitzah, Marbe Tvuna. Person who's involved in Eitzah, the more counsel, the more advice, the more understanding. A person who seeks advice from people, so he'll understand situations better, and that way he can apply them to his life. Bar Tanur says, Maven Dover Mitoch Dvar May Eitzah Shei Atzav Nosim Lo. You ask people who have experience in certain areas or have expertise in certain areas, the more advice we ask, the better off we're going to be. Marbet Tuna will have better understanding, comprehension of that which we need to do. Marbet Tzedakah, Marbet Shalom. Person who gets more Tzedakah, there's more Shalom. Pasuk in Yeshayo, the Lamed Beis, the Bar Tanura quotes, Yom Ma'aseh HaTzedakah Shalom. So it sounds like there's a relationship there between giving Tzedakah and Shalom, but it also means logically, a person who distributes a Tzedakah to people, so that's Marbet Shalom. That increases the peace between people. Then the Mishnah says, Kana Shem Tov, Kana La'atzmo, person who acquires a good name, a positive reputation, a good reputation. So that is something he's acquired for himself. That is, and as opposed to, let's say, material wealth. So that's not the same as having a Shem Tov. The material wealth is something that has during his lifetime when he's not here anymore, so he leaves it for other people. But a reputation, a Shem Tov, that's something that lasts forever. Kana lo divrei Torah, person who acquires Torah, kana lo chayelam haba. By acquiring Torah, to say, and Bar Tanura says, lomar, harbe Torah lamati, be able to say, I learned a lot of Torah, lefi shehu lo miniach lo mikra v'lusho halacha b'hagada shalom. If you have a person who hasn't left aside, hasn't abandoned, on the contrary, he's focused on learning Tanakh and Mishnayos and halacha and agada, so these are things that are very, very worthwhile to learn. And this is, he makes the point, this is really Hillel talking, meaning he was Kona Divrei Torah. He acquired all of these areas of Torah, so a person should try to learn Kol HaTorah Kula if it's possible, as much as we can, and a person should, Oh, I was reading about Tanur from the next Mishnah. Oh, that's Mishnah Ches already. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, we'll learn in the next Mishnah, would say that he learned, we know that he learned all different areas of halacha. No, here we're speaking about Hillel's teaching. Kana lo divrei Torah, person acquires divrei Torah. Kana lo chayelam haba. He's kana lo haba. What does that mean? Well, the pasuk says in Mishlei, Bishach b'cha tishmor alecha v'hakitzosa hi sisichecha. It says that the Torah will guard you when you're sleeping, and v'hakitzosa, when you wake up, it will speak on your behalf. It will advocate for you. So this is referring to the Torah, which will proclaim a person's zuchuyos in olam haba, in the next world. Ki yu chayecha v'orecha mecha. It's not only in this world. We assume Arichus Yom refers to the next one. So acquiring Torah, a person can acquire Chayei Olam Haba.